Simon from the White, and we are on the phone with Alexis Sale, who is doing, well, his gig sold out on the Isle of Wight.
Hi there.
A normal day in your life, household, what is it? I mean, preparing for a tour, I guess you're not doing too normal a day, but you do a lot of writing on a daily basis?
Well, obviously, the book readings are sort of different to the stand-up comedy gigs, really. I mean, the book readings are, I mean, they're very interesting, really, and the book readings actually led to me finding a new way to do stand-up comedy, really, because... When I used to perform, you know, it was sort of like very aggressive and, you know, I was in the tight suit and stuff like that. And I thought that that was really the only way that I could perform, really. But then once I stopped doing stand-up comedy, like in 1996, I started, you know, I became an author and I started doing these readings and I'd stay behind to sign books afterwards and talk to people, and through that, and I also, like, I'd do a question and answer session, which is part of what I'll be doing in the Isle of Wight, and through that, I found a way to kind of do a different kind of anecdotal kind of comedy, you know, and just be less aggressive with people.
I guess also it gives you a different relationship with the audience, because you're more human, if you like, less of an act, more human.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that was a revelation to me that I could do that, or sort of want to do that, really. You know?
And how have you found the humans you've been mixing with?
They're very nice. They're very nice. I mean, obviously, the people that come and see me are, you know, I think the brighter sections of humanity, I can say that. But, you know, no, they're lovely, you know, and I never thought, you know, I'd say I used to be very aggressive towards the audience and, you know, I don't know. You know, it was part of just the way I was then and the way things were, you know, having grown up in the kind of, you know, kind of directly after punk, really, that when alternative comedy began. And so, you know, we inherited a lot of that ethos, really. But I think, you know, certainly by the mid-90s, I'd become tired of that, really, and that's why I stopped performing, really.
That's one of the things I was thinking about, the idea of... Do you say, right, okay, I'm just exhausted, I've exhausted myself, or I just want a different way of life, or what brings a change about like that?
Yeah, I don't think you think about it really in that, you know, coherent fashion, really, that you're just aware that something's sort of not working for you anymore, really. I mean, the venues were still, you know, I was still selling tickets and stuff, but, you know, there was just a sense, I suppose, that... you know, it didn't work for me anymore. It wasn't making me happy, really. And so, you know, that you kind of stop, really, but without any sense of necessarily knowing what you're doing next. And it took quite a while. It took 3 or 4 years before I, you know, really got seriously into writing, which is what, you know, occupied the next kind of 15 years or so. You know, it was a gradual thing, you know, but it wasn't like part of a plan or anything, you know, it's just the way.
Well, I guess that also the blood pressure probably is useful to on health grounds.
I don't know, it's hard to know really with the, I mean, because it's very physical, so it's a good kind of, I mean, even now when I do the comedy, it's a good, you know, it's a good workout. And I think I'm doing a tour of the stand-up comedy, so I'm doing Southampton, so if people wanted to see me in full.
Well, that is just a short trip across to the Solent, then,
yeah,
in that
exactly.
case.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so with the slipping into writing, that's something that you just found yourself writing and thought, oh, I'm not bad at this?
That kind of thing, yeah. I mean, writing really, I just wrote a short story one day and I thought, oh, this really works. And it also, it took me into areas I never felt that I could deal with, you know, in comedy, really, you know, sort of, because my short stories are very dark and, but complex as well. There's no black and white in my short stories, and they're quite kind of intellectual as well, you know. You know, that was all stuff that I felt I could never do in light entertainment. And so it was very thrilling when I wrote the first short stories. And then, you know, found a publisher, and you know, they're a great commercial success, and they're selling now. You know, 13, 14 years later. You know.
And what, so, I mean, Brother Sale, how did he come about to be writing for the Telegraph?
Comrade, well, I'm reforming the system from the inside. I never
driving nice cars.
Well, I've always written about, I've always been, I mean, for a long time, I've been a motoring journalist. I've written for Car Magazine, and then for a long time, I wrote for the motoring supplement of the Independent Magazine. So, and Independent newspaper, and then occasionally in the really terrible days, I presented or did, you know, sections for Top Gear in the late 90s.
Yeah.
When the show was really bad.
But the Telegraph, I mean.
But the Telegraph, I never, I mean, this is, you know, I mean, people can, you know, people can judge this any way they want. I've never particularly been bothered by who I wrote for, really. I mean, I could never have written for the Telegraph, certainly when Conrad Black owned it, because I thought he was a hateful man. But
it does seem a different. It does seem a different newspaper now, doesn't it?
Well, yeah,
it seems
exactly.
Less
yeah.
on the right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a, you know, there's a bit.
That's the projection.
There's obviously, you know, politically there's the stuff that is very right wing, but then they also, employ, you know, other columnists who are, you know, are very much not Telegraph people. I mean, Matthew Norman is a friend of mine. Does both the restaurant reviews and does a political column, and he's very radical, really. And I always mention I'm a Marxist and stuff in my motoring column. You know, it's really, but you know, you could see it as complete hypocrisy. I mean, it's up to you. You know, it's but for me, it's never really an issue. And in some ways, I like. I mean, I really love writing for the Telegraph. I mean, it makes me. I think they're very nice to work for, and it's just a joy to work for them. But, yeah.
Are you one of the people? Do you read the comments that readers leave, or do you sort of leave
them? I generally don't in my own column.
I've had enough heckling over the years already.
I mean, there's usually like a, you know, there's a lot of, you know, why is this man writing in our paper?
Says Colonel, blah, blah. Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see the point, really. I don't really see the point. You know,
yeah, I guess it's like a sort of an extended version of dealing with hecklers, isn't it? But
yeah,
it never stops.
It's just dispiriting, really, as well. Bothered engaging with it. But I know somebody told me that Norman Tebbit, who also writes for Telegraph, I think he replies to everyone.
Right.
I mean, posts a response. I suppose he's got nothing else to do with it.
I can imagine him doing that, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why bother?
Yeah. I saw your piece about the hovercraft and talking about going over to the continental Europe on it. And that just that insane, I was talking to my daughter about it the other day, actually, that insane idea of putting cars on a floating platform. I'm so glad you mentioned the noise. I mean, there's a service that's the only commercial service in Europe between the island and South Sea.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to take the opportunity to come over on?
Well, I think because I'll be taking my car, probably not, but interesting that you mentioned it. After I wrote that article, Griffin Hovercraft, which are based in Southampton, got in touch with me and said, no, we're still, you know, the world's largest manufacturer of... So I'm actually, on the morning before I come to the Isle of Wight, I'm going around their factory.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm going to write a piece about it. I think the Telegraph is sending a photographer, and I'm going to do a piece about it.
Because the SRN5 just won an engineering award as well.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Last Friday, I think it was.
Oh, great. Well, it's... I'm happy. You know, I mean, a lot of what I write is complete nonsense, so... I mean,
it's lovely to have that freedom to just talk about whatever
great,
you want.
You know, again, that's what's great about writing. You know, when what they allow me that freedom to write. I mean, my column is very rarely about cars. to be able to write about like hovercraft and stuff like that. You know, it's just it's very thrilling, really. And that, you know, then, you know, like the company gets in touch, and I'm going to go, you know, see. go round the factory and stuff. And it's a shame. It's a shame I've got the car ready, because I would like to have taken it.
Well, it's only, you know, it's only 10 minutes, so you could do a back and forth journey.
Oh well, maybe I will do. Yeah, we'll see when we're there. Yeah, maybe I'll get her.
There is the great thrill of sitting at the front and imagining you're driving it as well. Because the pilots above you, they sort of walk along and go up a step ladder and disappear into the heights.
Right.
So they've got the view, and then the whole of the platform at the bottom is for seating. So you can hold on to the rail and go, yay!
Well, maybe we'll see how we get on. Then yeah, I might do. Yeah, they said they would take me to the to where the hovercraft leaves from. So we'll see how we get on. I mean, it's going to be a bit of a long day, really. But
I guess that gives me a perfect opportunity of talking about workshops and engineering as well. The fact you're going to Griffin, I was going to try and work something into it, but as it came
right,
up,
that, all right, no.
Is that your most requoted back to you quote, you reckon?
It's one of them. It's certainly the people. Anybody who uses the word workshop who's not connected with light engineering is a
yes. Insert your own expletive. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It probably people get it a bit wrong, but people sort of like it really. So that and hello John. I mean, hello John got a new motor is still often used in motoring articles. You know, hello Ferrari got a new.
Mid
to rear engine.
Right, yeah. Completely extending
Ford
it.
Hello, Benjamin Netanyahu got a new
peace plan
building.
Peace plan
or whatever.
There's obviously still tons of videos of you from the old days on YouTube, and I was wondering, what is it like to see pretty much your whole performance history still available to you? There was your performance and then nothing, and then people have dug out their old VHSs, I guess, and been putting it online. Is it strange to see your performing career available online?
To some extent, that's always been the experience of the, you know, the performer, really, in the kind of, you know, late 20th century, that you could always see yourself kind of shrivel up and die, really. You know, in late night television or whatever, you could see your younger self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you were always coming across your younger self. So really, YouTube and so on is only an extension of that experience.
It's like having multiple comedy channels running the whole time, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem that different to me, really. I mean, I don't obsessively go and watch my own performance.
That would be quite disturbing.
Yeah, I'm sure there are people who do, but it's a different world, really, obviously, you know, in terms of, you know, I mean, the world that I grew up in was very rigid, kind of, you could only watch stuff when it was broadcast initially, and then you could kind of laboriously record it on VHS, and it's a different, more fluid world now. It doesn't bother me particularly, but I also don't interact with it massively, really.
Are you about the fact that you're not getting paid for those performances?
Well, that is a bit of a nuisance, really, I think. But it's still, I mean, there is a certain compensatory mechanism in that, you know, that live performance has kind of exploded, you know, I think as a kind of link with like YouTube, that people also want that live experience. I like that old-fashioned world, you know, that kind of hierarchical world and the world of newspapers and, you know, television. You know, it was a very comfortable and very well-paid world, really, and it's a lot of it has now ended, but, you know.
What do you mean about the newspapers, then, the world of that?
Well, you know, papers are...
All sealed in one unit, and you received it, and...
Yeah, you got your news from the newspapers, and there was a limited number of kind of, you know, the commentary came from a limited number of columnists who had served their time on newspapers and learned their craft, and, you know, and that's clearly not the case now. There's a kind of cacophony of comment from the internet and stuff, and people think that, you know, that their comment is worth as much as some columnist
who's studied the subject for years.
Yeah, he's got a double first from Oxford and studied, and you know, he's you know, spent 3 years living in Syria, and you know, which, you know, which is unfortunate. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, I'm not railing against it. It is what it is, but it is kind of different. It's a different world, and it was a nice, cosy, comfortable world, but also it was a very undemocratic world, in that, you know.
I guess, and there was no point where you would ever question what you were being told by those newspapers. You took it for what you were being told. It was literally the black and white of the truth.
Yeah, I think you questioned it in your head, probably, but you couldn't express that question, and you couldn't leave a snarky comment on, you know, comment. You know, you couldn't leave a, you know, a below the line comment.
Yeah,
you know, you couldn't. You didn't have a blog to express your, you know, feelings that the Syrian government are all lizards. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. I think it's got, you know, I don't. Yeah, it just is what it is, really. As I say, I don't really rail against it. You know,
I'm happy
with the modern world. I quite like.
Oh, I see. You've got a blog as well. I like the way you number your posts rather than giving them a title.
Yeah, is that, well, yeah, that's, I didn't know.
It's almost that, like, you know, the sort of untitled 43 or...
Like my,
I've just seen there's a 72B as well, which is your PS, is it?
I know, it's just the way I could, that's the way I found I could organise myself. In fact, I haven't done one for over a month. I better knock one up today, really. I mean, sometimes you do think, this would be a great idea for a blog, and then you think, well, hang on, I'm not getting paid for this.
Right.
Why do I?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, and also, particularly as you have such creative freedom in what you're writing, then it's not like you say, we wouldn't fit in. If most journalists have quite rigid lines, don't they?
The blog
gives them a chance to express outside what's expected of them.
Yeah. So. No, that's true, yeah.
Well, look, looking forward to meeting up and, well, seeing your show and seeing the reading and hearing some experiences of you on the hovercraft, how it goes around the,
around the
factory.
Yeah. It'll give me a local angle to talk. I say, hey, you hovercraft. Local reference.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for your time.
Okay, cheers.
And have a good journey.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye.